Mr. Bone, this farm of yours is one of the delights of Westport. We've only been here 25 years, but in those 25 years, coming down the hill here at Hicksbridge and seeing your place has given us a thrill every time we've done it. Yes. I suppose it gives you that same thrill or more. I wonder, how long have your family had this farm?
Well, they moved here in 1887.
1887.
From Little County.
Mm-hmm. And when was the house built then?
No, the house must have been built sometime, a long while before. I really don't know, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. I would say that the house must be 125 years old anyway. Mm-hmm. I have no, there are no
what
dates.
What kind of, you don't know what was farmed here before you came?
Well, the farm was very much smaller than it is now. It had very little cleared land. Mm-hmm. My grandfather
did most of the clearing,
a little bit at a time, mm-hmm. and moved further away from the house. You mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. there used to be an orchard just over the wall here, which of course is all gone now. But he gradually cleared the land, and then my father, in turn, cleared a little bit more. I have never cleared any of it.
So your father did all of, your grandfather and father did all of the clearing of this whole thing. How many acres?
It's 100.
100 acres.
Yeah. The town, however, laid it out on, you know, how they surveyed it. Mm-hmm. And they surveyed it to 95. Mm-hmm. But that was where the old auction.
It's supposed to be 125.
The old deeds and so on read.
When the old auction thing, which I have in the cellar, reads 125 acres, but in those days it was a guess. You mm-hmm. know, they paced it out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So however many, if you had long legs, you paced it.
That's right, yeah.
paced it less. And you don't know what was farmed here before your family came?
No, I know of two families. Some of the Earls at the point lived here at one
time.
They did? Yes, mm-hmm. and there were Hickses that lived here. I think it was the Earls lived here first, and then the Hickses were next, weren't they?
I think the Hicks married the Earl.
Well, I don't know, but anyway, there are Hickses and Earls
in this background.
And the Hickses, no doubt, apparently are connected with some of the Hickses, or the Mary Hicks that had to do with the bridge, which
yes.
they had in the lookup of the history.
Oh, that's interesting. I hadn't realized that.
Well, the only
they
difference is
cows and pigs and
well, they had yes,
a regular farm.
Yeah, a regular mm-hmm. farm.
It was not a potato farm or
no.
anything like
not
that. It was just a farm.
No, it was a dairy farm and potato. That is a combination farm through the period of my father having it, and then he eventually got rid of the cows because the family being small and we didn't have the help, and mm-hmm. so he just went into the
But I want crop. You to go slower with that. What did your father do? Mostly dairy?
Well, it was that when he first came down here, when they first came over here, it was a split between vegetables and dairy. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, as they cleared, they could get a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm. Could they then have more vegetables and more
cows?
Well,
I think so, yes. That's before my time, but
yes,
I assume
I know.
That's where it was.
I think you probably have heard tales about it.
Yeah.
And then your father.
Well, my father was here, and then for a while he left the farm. The farm was, I don't know whether it wasn't that productive or what, but my
what
grandfather...
What period and what time was
well,
that
Well, that would be in the 1920s, when there was a good work in the shipyard mm-hmm. in Crown and Chief's mm-hmm. shipyard. My father went there to mm-hmm. work up mm-hmm. the other side of Fall River.
Mm-hmm. Before the Depression?
That was in the 20s.
So early 20s.
Yeah, yes. Well, in fact, he was up there when World War 1918.
Mm-hmm. And that was a time of economic boom, before the Depression.
Yeah. And then after about 2 years, he worked by himself, and then he came back to the farm.
Do you know when that was? I'm interested in following the economic life in relation to the farm.
When did he go?
It was just before I moved out here in 29.
Well, mm-hmm. it was around 28 or 29.
And that's when the crash on Wall Street came. And
well, you
so
see, my grandfather then
went
to Scotland. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's where he come from originally.
Mm-hmm.
And... It's a little vague now, the years, how long he was over there, I don't know, but my aunt went over, he was in poor health, my aunt went over and brought him back from over there. Because he was unable to travel alone on board ships.
And that then wasn't until 35?
That was around 34 or 35. And, of course, the hurricane was in 1938 he passed away. In
1938.
In 38. Yes.
Well, now we get to you.
Okay.
And you were born here.
I was born in the next little house up the road. This was not my father's home. So
yes,
at any
I see.
Time. My father never lived here, just a grandfather.
Your grandfather.
My aunt occupied it.
And you were born up in the next little
next
house?
Next house
up
on the other
the
side
road.
Where my daughter lives.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when were you born?
When 1907.
1907.
And.
Well, tell me about. I want to know all about.
Well,
What made you decide to stay here?
Well, actually, that question is hard to answer because when I was small, I come down to the farm. But when I got old enough and to work, I went to the city to work.
That's it.
And as luck would have it, I went into the cotton business.
Really?
And of course, that would flourished, through into. Into the 50s, and then it gradually diminished us in Fall River until it almost went to nothing.
Yes.
And then when I was out of a job for a little bit of a while, I came back here and worked on the farm. And we didn't come down
here.
Did
you decide to do potatoes
when I first come back, I worked part-time here with my father to help him. And he was raising potatoes then, but he didn't.
He had gone into potatoes by that time.
Yes, and he had gotten rid of the cattle then.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have any cattle. And
all the cattle equipment.
And all the cattle equipment.
It's a beautiful farm. As I drove around in parks here tonight, it's simply lovely.
Well,
you've worked awfully hard. You worked long hours. What time do you get up in the morning?
Well, we don't work that long hours.
You don't?
I mean, we pretend
today,
to go.
Like
not today. Years ago, they used to get
well,
up at 4:30 in the morning.
That
was old time for when they had dairy.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked around the clock because,
you had to
milk again at night.
Mm-hmm.
And but now, with just potatoes, we run a day similar to a regular work day at 8 in the morning till 5 at night.
Mm-hmm.
And
Well, it's seasonal, though, isn't
it? It's seasonal. Well, when I say seasonal, it really occupies the whole year because by the time you plant and take care of the planting and then take care of the plant all through the growing season,
which
starts April 15th, we can plant.
We keep watching. I mean, all the way down the hill, we watch these little plants come up.
Yeah. And then we start to harvest around the 10th of September, isn't it? Well, the 1st to the 10th, and then we keep harvesting until now, the 1st of November.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2 months to about.
You're
9
still
years.
Harvesting then?
Yes, as long as the frost is fair.
Now, where do you sell these potatoes?
Well, our business has done a great deal, essentially, right from the door here.
In other words, if I wanted one of your potatoes, I could come to the door and get it?
Every day.
I didn't realize that.
Endless number of people come, especially Saturdays. We're so busy on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't pretend to deliver anything. I have everyone come and pick it up, whether it's a wholesaler or a householder or anything. And that makes it so I don't have the expense of trucking. And
that's great.
Well, it works out good, I'll tell you, because the cost of insurance and trucks and registration is so great.
It's so great. This is much more intelligent.
It, on the other side of the books, and what makes it difficult now, is all farmers are subject to the same types of taxation that businesses.
I think that will be changed, don't you?
Well, I don't know whether this peanut guy will change it or not. Do you think so?
I think so.
Well, I hope. I don't think you can change it altogether. I think we're geared to a certain tax structure that you can't take some away. You can't keep people on welfare and Social Security and the benefits that we have it's hard for people to let go of that.
No.
And we have a tremendous amount of old people.
Mm-hmm. I know. The people are living longer and longer and
that's right. And there are many, many people now that are over 72, and of course they can earn any amount of money if they have their faculties and still get their social security.
That I don't think is right.
Well,
do you?
Well, I just don't. I've got mixed feelings on that because I'm in my 17th year, and I get my social security. And I work a couple of days up to Grundy's.
Yes.
But I do that so I can, because there isn't that much money in farming.
There isn't. I wondered about the money in farming here in Westport. Now, at one time, your father could do very well.
Well, yes, because, you know, the wage scale for farming, you could hire anybody who, you know, you could hire a man that wanted to work, was glad to get work and walk to work or ride a bicycle to work and get him a dollar an hour up until in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now...
Now what was it? That is in the 20s, a dollar an hour. What now do you have
well,
to pay?
Well, we are geared to a certain level on a farm. We have three categories. We have the adult that works. We have the schoolboy that works.
Mm-hmm.
So you have two levels that you can pay them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have a learner's rate if you want. But, like, what I pay, I try to pay enough per hour so that it's worthwhile to a youngster. I mean, there's plenty of people who get $5 and $6 and $7 an hour professionally, such as plumbers and electricians. But farmers can't afford to pay more.
No.
I mean, I pay $2.30 an hour. It might not be an awful lot based on...
But are there people who are very glad to get it because
well,
they like the life
of
the farm?
Well, they are. I'll tell you, we have, I've got young people, some of them in school, that get out of school and come here to work at 3 o'clock and work for 2 hours, and it helps me an awful lot.
I know.
So then I have others that are young fellows that, well, they're through school and they haven't really got settled. You know, there are young people, there are a lot that aren't too well
settled.
Do
you remember Gordon Guptill? I don't mean Gordon,
worked,
I mean Lloyd Guptill.
Lloyd, he worked here.
He loves it here. He
well,
loves
he,
you and he loves the farm.
I missed him this year. He has a personality that's unlike anybody else's.
Yes,
I mean,
he's unusual.
Yeah,
he's
he is.
Brilliant.
I think he's in Chicago.
He
I
is.
Yeah.
And he's coming home shortly with a... He's found a girl.
Oh, no kidding. Really?
Yes, finally found
well,
a girl.
Maybe that will make such a difference. Maybe they get anchored.
Yes, he may.
The Mrs. Guptill, I think, would like to see it.
Yes, she's
her.
Very happy.
He's
I
an
saw
awful
her this
nice
evening.
Guy, and he seems to like fun. He liked the experience of being outside. And he liked the little heavy lifting and working.
He's a good, strong, husky boy.
Well, I have the Rob boy here
you
now.
You do?
And he likes it because he just likes to sling these heavy bags around. I think that, well, of course, he's a big boy.
Yes.
And they like it. And, I mean, I don't push the help. I mean, I let the help enjoy their day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I don't keep after them.
No.
If I...
Your ears must have burned because this is always what I've heard.
Yeah. Well, I have had some that I had to get rid of because, well, they just weren't dependable. Because when it comes time, 8 o'clock in the morning, if somebody's supposed to be at work, I'd like to have them there. I don't care if I don't stop them to work until 9, but if they're there, you know. And if I get through at night at 4:15, I let them go. They might get a little extra time.
Well, I want to take a moment now after this. Can you make you can't make a living as a potato farmer.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Of course, I have an apartment upstairs that I make for my boy.
Mm-hmm.
Is this still on now?
Yes.
And, of course, I've been able to rent that.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps me a great deal.
But if you're just as a potato farmer alone...
No, I mean, if my wife and I would never have a house as big as this.
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
I'd have a small, reasonable-sized house, but I'm stuck with it.
Yes, I know.
I inherited it.
I know. And you like it because you
inherited
it. Oh,
I like
it,
but I've always liked plenty of room and openness.
Yes.
It's expensive, heat-wise, but it's pleasant to live in. You know what I mean? And but everything costs so very much. I mean, all these trees around here, we have to have them all pruned and cleaned every 3 years. If
every
you don't,
3 years?
Well, for safety, because I'm scared to death they'll blow over on the house.
Yes. Whom do you get to do that?
I have a fellow come down from Seacom. It's, I can't think of his name, but it's a... Massachusetts concerned, but they have an office.
I'll call you because I have an old chestnut tree that I needs attention. It's so old, it needs attention every year.
Yeah.
And I need to know the name of someone good.
Yes, well, I don't know whether this fellow would take just, you know, one tree. He comes around sort of and takes a contract. He figures all the trees and how what's got to be done, and then he gives you a price on it.
I see. So but he probably wouldn't take one.
No,
tree.
But there is, in the Sunday paper, there has been an ad for a fellow who would like to do tree surgery. And I think he's doing it as a practice.
Feeding? Work. I mean, he's feeding, too.
Yes, well, they probably, if he's studied to be a tree surgeon, like at Aggie School, you know?
Yes.
I think Diamond even has a course for that. They would know what fertilization is.
Mm-hmm.
These don't need no fertilization. The roots are everywhere. They've been here so long. I can't grow good flowers
because the trees.
Ground is so full of roots.
Yes. Well, there's always a problem. You have trees, you can't have flowers. You have flowers, you can't have trees.
Well, we've had the trees trimmed thin so that the sun gets in, and they have get plenty of sunlight, but you'd be surprised, the roots do rob them of the moisture.
Yes.
If it gets awfully dry around the underpinning of the house, it gets bitterly dry.
Yes.
We have to wet it down.
Now, I want to know about, here you were, born next door, right here on Hicksbridge Road. Mm-hmm. What was it like to be a little boy here on Hicksbridge Road in Westport? What did you have to do that was fun? What did you do that was work?
Well, as far as the work went, there wasn't much I could do on the farm. They wouldn't let me, when you're small on a farm, there is a slight danger with small children, just like there is with my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get to be a teenager, I feel they're big enough. But as a kid, I can remember, first of all, that it was very much country.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was.
And Southwestport was a little village. I mean,
yes.
We had a store and we had a post office, you know, which, of course, now is all gone.
Yes, I remember your post office.
And it's been driven away due to the fact that, first of all, the supermarkets, people travel to them because they get it cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And the post office, they close them anyway.
Yes.
So that now it's just a community, that's what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
But
do you feel a sense of community here now?
You do,
still?
But I don't know. I know how
your
it is
neighbors
at the point.
Across the
people
street
can live
road.
Next door to you and you don't know who they are.
Well, that's what I wondered.
I mean,
well, you did have a
sense. That used to be.
It's all gone.
Well, it seems to be. You know the people live there, and you almost say to yourself, well, I wish I had gone up to see them or something like that. But you just don't.
Don't.
It seems as though we're living a life of, well, maybe TV has brought us
I
inside
suppose so.
A lot. But, of course...
You picked berries?
Oh, we used to...
When you were
to,
young? And
well, that's... I was
we
trying
to
think
work.
About that. What
I
you did
work.
Do
yeah.
as a child? What did
well,
you do to help?
Well,
you
I used
berries.
To come down here and help some with the cows, feed cows and stuff like that. But the work that I really did to earn anything, I picked strawberries and I picked blueberries and
here
stuff like that.
On the farm?
No, that would be for other people.
Pierce's farm?
No, Pierce didn't have them
there.
But over here on Drift Road, where Mrs. Brownell lived, you know where Maude Brownell lives?
Yes.
Well, that used to be a strawberry farm up
in
the back.
Oh, yes.
And we used to wait for spring to come to go over there and pick, because that's where we could earn some money.
Mm-hmm.
And you were on your own. If you didn't pick for 50 baskets, you got paid for 50.
50
you
baskets.
You want to rush all day, you'd get maybe more.
Yes.
But there were as far as picking fruit, there wasn't any orchards that I remember when I was a kid.
No.
No. That's about the only thing that I know. That there was no other work up now the head of Westport, the Westport factory, across the mills at the upper mill and the lower mill used to hire help, and then they hired child labor.
Yes.
Question.
Yes.
You see.
And I'm sure they must have.
They did. Well, child labor went out in 1914, I think. Yes, because it they used
the
to
law,
have the law wouldn't let you hire them, which I think it was a good thing.
I think you, I think so. I think the poor children didn't need to be in the factory all day and never get any.
But
sunshine.
We went to school in this little school up here. We went through the eighth grade.
Tell me just where the school was.
Well, you know, up here at the corner.
That nice school down.
That
right.
little old building with two doors on the front that's all falling to pieces and the cows are going in and out of the door. That was the schoolhouse.
Yeah.
We used to have 4-H club meetings in there when
it
I had 4-H
school. It was a nice little schoolhouse.
Yes. Isn't it a shame that it has been allowed to fall down?
Well, I was surprised when the town let go of it and didn't try to preserve it because, well, they didn't try to save any of these small schools. There used to be one on Pine Hill Road, there used to be one here, and there used to be one down at the corner of Skunk Hollow Road, I call it, down there near Sequeira's Farm.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be three schools mm-hmm. on this side of the river, and then on the other side there was one at the point, and there was one right up here on Drift Road across from the DuPont
mm-hmm.
farm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It was made into a house.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little school. I don't think it was more than 10 children went mm-hmm. to that school.
One
teacher to each school.
And did you have benches or desks?
Well, we had desks. No, we had desks, I mean, and wood stove.
Mm-hmm.
And quite primitive, I mean. In fact, my school teacher down here flew the last 4 years is still living.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Evelyn Weston.
Yes. Yeah. Evelyn Weston?
Yeah.
Was your school teacher?
Yeah.
She's a very good friend of mine.
Yes, because she's a niece of William and
Brightman.
Brightman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hannah Brightman's
yeah.
niece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you must have done some things to play. What games did you play?
Well, I don't know about the games. We didn't have any organized sports in schools those days.
You didn't?
We used to play ball.
You played, that's what I mean, ball?
And skate.
And skate.
We made a lot, our winters gave us a lot more skating and sliding. We couldn't wait to get out of school to go,
mm-hmm.
you know?
What about swimming?
Swimming, no. I wasn't much for swimming. I still am. I like the water, but I never went swimming very much.
How about fishing?
Fishing, well, we used to go fishing down here for snappers, you know,
mm-hmm.
when we was at the bridge, because
mm-hmm.
the bridge was so
yeah.
close. But as a youngster, there wasn't that much fishing that I remember. There were a few very small skiffs tied up down at the bridge here, but
mm-hmm.
but you could have them then and without them being molested.
Yes.
There was fishing down at the point.
Mm-hmm.
The point was always looked upon.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they used to bring, I don't remember it, but my grandfather used to ship his stuff that he raised from what they call Trips Forth. Now that would be down here on Drift Road, and I can't think who lives down there now. Do they live down anywhere near where what's the doctor's name over here? The mother. She lives down there alone now. Dr. Adler. You know,
Adler.
Adler.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, just this way from
Adler.
Yeah, just this way from her house, where Ginger Pearson. I don't know who bought their house. It's a doctor.
Mm. Oh,
Baldwin.
That's right.
Where's Dr. Baldwin live? He lives here on Fifth Road.
Well, it's not too far down from the bridge.
Well, anyway, it's not too far down from the bridge as you look down from the Hicks's Bridge. There was a big wharf down there. Well, they brought the boats up the river on high tides and
mm-hmm.
loaded them with the vegetables. And then they went
I wish I could spot that. We'll have to make a little map that goes.
Yeah, well, it's on the old Westport map. They called it Trip's Wharf. But
mm-hmm.
it was nothing more than a facing of big, big stones that,
mm-hmm.
that the boat could pull up to and load.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to ship turnips and potatoes and.
Where'd they ship them to? Have you any idea?
Providence.
Most of the boats.
Yeah,
went
because
to
they went out of the river. They used to have to open the bridge. And they used to bring coal. Seems to me it was coal that they brought.
Mm-hmm.
They made something on board each way,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the old history says they went up to the head, but how they ever got up to the head of Westport, I'll never know. You can hardly get up there with a motorboat.
I know.
It may
silt deposits and so on, and tides change and so
mm-hmm.
all, and it is a. Tidal river,
yeah.
And so it may be that it showers than
they,
it was.
The boats they built years ago, too, I don't think the draft, I don't think they needed that much water to float. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? They were big, maybe, and flat.
Mm-hmm.
To give them a, maybe not the right name, but they were more
a flat
like
boat.
A scow.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or a flat-bottom boat.
Yes.
You know?
So you never really had fun fishing?
Not
you
that
never,
I remember as far as fishing
no.
goes.
But you had fun skating.
Yeah, we
and coasting. I mean, this must have been a wonderful hill to go.
Well, yes, we had more winter. We had snow from in November through the winter I can remember. day after day, it was nothing but snow, and it was deep. It would cover the walls.
Yes.
You could go skating all over everywhere.
As a teenager, let's say you're 14 years old.
Yeah.
And you...
Yeah. Yes, that would be about the time I would remember it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
that's when you used to play the piano, two nights.
Well, I used to, as I got older.
Where did you play the piano?
Well, we used to... We had a small orchestra, three pieces first, and then five pieces afterwards. We mm-hmm. played all
around
through
for
the
all
party.
Kinds of
yeah, well,
meetings
like,
at the Grange,
yes,
and
Grange, and public dances,
mm-hmm.
and at the hall,
up
at the Masons.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
And the fellow who managed it came from over in Adamsville, and he needed a piano player, so
mm-hmm.
I took the job.
Well, that's great.
Well, I earned a little money on the side.
Yes. So, as a child, you were practicing playing the
piano?
Well,
yes, when I got to be 18, when I was, I started playing, I think, the last year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, tell me, you went to this school for an elementary school. Then where did you go?
Eight grades, too. Then Milton Earl was the school.
Milton Earl. And who was the principal there then?
I can't remember who the first principal was, but the principal that stands out in my mind was Cox. I don't know whether you've talked with anybody else about that.
No.
Johnny Cox.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the guy. He was a good principal. But they had differences with the school committee. We had what they called the first strike. The kids walked out of school. And well, they were supposedly to have fired the principal. And we didn't like it. So
you struck.
Walked out of school. We didn't stay out very long, but... anyway, they reinstated.
That's modern.
Well, it was. I know it was in the paper. I don't know whether I've got the newspaper or not, but anyway, it was considered.
New Bedford paper?
It was in the New Bedford paper,
uh-huh.
yeah. But the fellow was a good guy. He was the school committee we had then. I don't know who it was, but there were differences, and they just felt that he wasn't. There was something that they had
and,
raked him about. Early politics, I think you have to call that.
Yes, yes. Have you ever done? You've never done anything politically, have you? Have you
no,
ever held office?
I've never cared to.
Do you go to town meeting or?
Oh,
or
I go to town meeting. Well, I haven't been to the last two special
but
ones.
But did you used to go to town
meeting?
Oh yeah,
meeting. We used to. Well, that was my practice in high school. They sent all the shorthand kids that took shorthand down to town meeting to take shorthand.
Mm-hmm.
And we got quite a kick out of it because town meetings in those days were very, very primitive.
Yeah.
They were very exciting.
Did they shout at each other?
Shout
yes.
at each other and get up and call one another. Well,
name.
Some real snappy names,
uh-huh.
you know.
And you had some big decisions to make.
Well, they were big considering. They weren't big dollars and cents.
No.
But they were big relative to the
to
town.
The town. Mm-hmm. I talked with a man. You must pardon me. I keep watching this because I need to turn it over. And it's not a long tape. And I don't want to miss anything. But, I talked with a man today who said, or yesterday, who said that he thought Westport had outgrown the town meeting form of government, that maybe we were too large a town to try to have all of the people, that so few of the people go to town meeting. That it's
well, I thought that maybe this year they would introduce that change, because Dartmouth has that. That's
mm-hmm.
representation by area.
Mm-hmm.
Or by population. Is it population or area? Well, anyway, it matters.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are a lot of things coming up now that there are so many people that are registered to vote who are eligible to sit down and decide on a thing that I think they've outgrown the type of, which is the old-fashioned type.
Yes, everybody could get here, but when you all knew your neighbors and you were all next door to each other and there were a small group.
That's right.
Then
when we used to
have
town
meetings
and we had 80 people or something like that, that's not easy. That's not uncontrollable. But
no.
In the present day, when you get 600 or 800 maybe, or even more, which could be,
yes.
there are many people.
It should be, if all the people who should go to town
yeah,
meeting
because
go.
You know the percentage that goes to a town meeting, it's down less than 10%.
I know, that's not fair, is it?
Well, it's not fair because I think they can railroad things
mm-hmm.
through. I mean, a certain group can bring their group and overpower the other group at a thing, you know?
Yes.
I thought they, but it's got to be put in the town meeting before they can change their form
yes.
of
yes.
town meeting.
Yes.
And I didn't know about maybe this year that Carl Lees would introduce that It has to be brought up in the town meeting, and then it can't go into force until another year, I think that it is.
Yes.
But I don't think anything like that was in the warrant this year.
No, it wasn't.
No.
I didn't see it.
No.
But I think it won't be many years, at least,
no,
before
because
it happens.
We're so very up to date in our police department, our fire department, and our ambulance, you know, all these
everything
other
else.
And we've got planning boards and water boards and river commissions and everything. We've got so many commissions now that I don't know who's on them.
No.
I have to go and ask somebody.
Yes, find out who to vote for, too. Well, that, I think, is something that we can look forward to.
Well, I think
is a new way we'll have to decide on. Let's see how this is going. It's still working. All right, we're still on one side. when did you get married?
When?
Mm-hmm. 1935. Isn't that marvelous? I was married. We were married in 1935.
You were?
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I mean, by marvelous, it's interesting.
No, things were quite different in 1935. I mean, the standard
that
of living.
Was, yes, yes. 32 was the depth of the Depression, Franklin Roosevelt,
yeah.
And all, and then 33 and 34 and 35 were still very difficult. Did you raise potatoes then?
They raised potatoes, and I don't know whether I can could find it, but you know, as far as the price of potatoes, you know, we'll take a 50-pound bag of potatoes
yes.
as a unit.
Yes.
That's what we call it now. They used to call them bushels, but I mean, on the basis of 50 pounds, potatoes are not any more than they were 15, 20 years ago.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yet the cost of what you use to put them in the ground.
The fertilizer and the labor.
The fertilizer and the labor and the seed
yes.
and the, all the spraying, you know,
yes.
is twice and three times.
So, therefore, the farmers are, and you're not, you don't get a tax break yet.
No, you, well, you don't get a break, you say? Tax
break.
Break?
Do you get a tax
you
break?
You don't get any tax break. The only break that I get is on my machinery, because
mm-hmm.
it takes a lot of machinery
yes.
to raise potatoes.
Yes, yes.
There are so many different things, too, between planting and cultivating, and digging and harrowing. And
I watch those beautiful rows you make all the time, yeah. every spring and every...
Well, we're always trying to make them straight.
Yes, well, you do very well.
Well, I don't do very much of that. My boy does it, and my father used to pride himself that he could make a very straight row, and he'd stop down here by Cadmus Neck Lane.
Yes.
And he'd put a bead on a tree up to the other end. You know,
yes.
And he'd keep his eye on that tree, because the first row you make, all your other rows follow it, see,
yes.
because they're 30-some inches
sure.
apart.
Yes.
And, of course, they do look nice. I think the potato fields look so pretty when the plant gets about so
that high.
When every row is discernible, you know?
Yes, and you can see the earth between
yeah.
and the potatoes. After they become larger and they're all just a big
yeah,
green
mass. Yeah, it
looks
like
mass.
A great big green mass.
Mm-hmm.
Or when they're in bloom, I think mm-hmm. they're a very pretty flower. Not thought of as anything to pick. And
now, what kinds of potatoes? There are different varieties.
Well, what primarily what we grow here is Katahdins and Green Mountains. They're a type quite well adapted to this area.
Mm-hmm.
We don't raise russets. We
mm-hmm.
tried it one year, but out west they do. It's
mm-hmm.
like when you go to the steakhouse.
You know, his voice carries. I wonder. You say that the Green Mountain potatoes and the russets didn't work here, but the Green Mountains and...
Green Mountains and Katahdins.
Katahdins. We always bought the Green Mountains. Do you like the Green Mountains?
Yes, that's
everywhere.
What we've been growing this year. My father used to grow other kinds, but I think the Katahdin has been the most disease-free type
has
of
it?
Potato. Yes.
Is it new? Is it newer than the Green Mountain?
No, Katahdin is an old potato. Primarily from Maine.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when you get out in Michigan and the West, they don't raise many of those called Katahdins. They have other varieties that
yes.
fit their soil.
Yes.
And the soil around here is not too scientific or organic or whatever you call it. Not organic, but there's not too many minerals in the ground.
No.
We have to replace them every year in our...
Yes.
The nitrogen holds on good in New England because we have good rainfall
yes.
and quite a lot of sun.
Yes.
But the potash and the other chemicals that go into it are We have to get it in the fertilizer to keep the mm-hmm. pH up, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was looking at that again. I just must keep an eye on it.
Does the light go on?
No, nothing happens. Mm-hmm. I just have to be sharp.
Sure.
What did you think of this lagoon business?
Well, it's right in my backyard, so.
Were you afraid or not afraid?
Well, when it started out, I wasn't particularly afraid of it. It's unfortunate that all these things seem to become so argumentary. It's something we're stuck with. In other words, we as a town have got to find some place for it to go.
Yes.
And when they first started out with it, and they came here and they wanted to go in here
but they couldn't do it
since we are what they call a working farm.
Mm-hmm.
And but I didn't think that I thought they would not find a place that would perk. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which they said.
I didn't think they would either.
No. Of course, this land up in back here is quite porous. By that I mean it's the same
base.
Yes, I know.
That's why I thought they wouldn't find a perk test.
Yeah. But when they did, why I thought, well, I mean, it's one of those things that if they find it, and they had the state men do it, I mm-hmm. mean, that part of it, I didn't think. But as it went on, and the people against it rose higher and higher and higher.
The neighbors were so upset.
Well, yes, and I mean it. I mean, for myself, I'm quite a ways from it as to the others. Mm-hmm. You know, on the other side, mm-hmm. the abutters.
Mm-hmm.
On the north side, they like Mr. and Mrs. Thomas and mm-hmm. Mr. and Mrs. Gates.
Yes,
their property comes down right next to it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And
you wouldn't really especially like to have it right next door.
No, I wouldn't. No, and but I feel to be very honest with you, because I know Randy Wood and I know the other fellows on the Board of Health, and I mean, I think there were so many accusations that when you go on a board and serve for what little they get out of it, you do the best you can.
Is it terribly hard work?
Yes. And not only that, I don't think that Fall River treated us fairly, and they've never been able to settle it with Dr. Shannon or whatever his name is there now in Fall River.
No.
But when the federal government federated that system in Fall River, why they were going, it was to be able to take care of Westport.
Well, I thought it was.
Yes.
Isn't it planning to?
It's supposed to now. But if they run both units,
mm-hmm.
see, but apparently there's something not.
What are they doing with it now?
Well, that's it. I mean, but I'm not going to go out or trying to find out.
No, me either. But I mean, that's a good question.
But
it is a good question.
Of course, that was brought out in the Mr. Anderson or whatever his name is there that has the Westport News.
Mm-hmm.
Ackerson, I mean to say.
Well,
only two or three loads of it made Brockton, and yet there are many loads picked up.
One thing I heard, which was, I'm not sure about, but someone told me that a man could get a Brockton firm